Well, beloved listeners, it is estimated that there are around 45 million people living in modern slavery globally. Vulnerable people are trafficked to work in all sorts of industries, from clothing to construction to electronic goods, agriculture and mining. Today, we're going to hear a first-hand account from another industry that has been found to be using slaves, the fishing industry, particularly in Thailand. And we'll also hear about what measures are being taken locally and globally to try and reduce the number of people working under inhumane conditions. Now, first, I would like to welcome to the program Vanek Anan Prum. Vanek is a Cambodian man. He was born in 1979, the second of eight children, in the year the Khmer Rouge were defeated by Vietnam. And down the track, he was sold to an illegal fishing operation in Thailand. He's not only written the story down, but he's also illustrated the story with the most beautiful, detailed and often dramatic drawings. The book is quite exquisite. It's called The Dead Eye and the Deep Blue Sea. It's published by Seven Stories Press. With him here in the studio is Jocelyn Pedrick, who's been working with Vanek on the book, and Jenny Sanger is with the Anti-Slavery Task Force with the Catholic Archdiocese of Sydney. And I welcome all of you. I've never been faced by so many people in the studio at the same time. Vanek, first to you, congratulations on your book, a remarkable story and so beautifully illustrated.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
I've already praised the quality of the drawings, and I'm particularly interested in one of the first. It shows you as a child sitting on the ground, drawing in the dirt. This was the beginning of your life as an artist.
As a young person, I always love being an artist, drawings.
Was it an artistic family? Were there other artists?
No one in my family is an artist, only myself.
But you earned some money as a sculptor.
That's right, yep.
Why did you go to Thailand, Vanek?
The reason for me to travel to Thailand, see, at the time my wife was pregnant, and we need some money, finance to be able for her to have the baby in a checkup in the hospital. That's make me decide to travel to Thailand.
And what happened to you once you crossed the border? You were loaded onto a fishing boat?
I was transported to the border, and the purpose of working as a fisherman in Thailand.
But when you're on the boat, you learn from one of the sailors that you've been sold.
That's right.
Life on the boat, I understand, was very hard. You were beaten, there was not much food.
See, the life on the boat is very, very hard. We're supposed to be giving food enough for 2 weeks, but not that. Yeah, because the whatever we provide is not enough, so we have to eat whatever on the sea.
I understand that you saw people murdered and thrown overboard.
This occurs almost every fishing boat, but I had witnessed a lot of it, like people was murdered, like beheaded, you know, all sort of things that are dying people.
You managed to escape with a friend, but it wasn't the end of the story. You're sold to a Malaysian plantation owner where you work for another year, and then a human rights organization helps you get home.
Gentleman mentioned the name. I can't get.
Lakado. The human rights organization in Cambodia.
Of Jocelyn, who we'll be coming to in just a moment. Okay, and then you start doing the drawings that I've been praising to the heavens to explain to your wife where you had been all that time and what you've suffered. Jocelyn, how did you meet Vanek?
Well, I'm I'm not an artist nor an author. I'm a filmmaker. And I've been living in Cambodia for some time and we'd been commissioned to do a series.
A dangerous place for filmmakers, as my friend James Ricketson can tell us.
Yes. Not as dangerous at that time, actually. This was 2011. We'd been commissioned by Radio Free Asia to do a series on human trafficking throughout Asia. And when we came to the issue of fisheries back then, there wasn't a lot of focus on what was happening in that industry and certainly wasn't much focus on what was happening, issues of trafficking around men and boys. And so we wanted to look at that issue in our stories. And we met a man called Manfred, who's someone who's very involved in Vanak's story. And he said, you have to meet this man from Vanak. He's got this incredible story to tell and he's this amazing artist. And so I went out and met Vanak and he showed me some of his artwork and I sat there with him for maybe 2 or 3 hours and he told me his whole story. And at the end of it, I said, you know, Vanak, you have to make a book of this. It'd just be an incredible book. And he goes, yes, I know, it would. And he always knew, that he always had this seed of an idea that it was going to be a book that he could tell.
Well, obviously you couldn't do the drawings, but you did help get his story down on paper. You helped with the words.
I think what we tried to do was give Vanak some shape to his story because it's a story that takes place over 4 years and, you know, three of those are on a boat and how do you, how do you work out what happened day to day on that boat? So we talked a lot about his story, but we tried to maintain his voice as much in the story. There's one of my favourite things in the book is he talks about how dangerous it is on board the boat. And he says, it's in this chapter called The Deadliest Job. And in it, he says, even taking a shit was dangerous. And we just decided it was a really literal translation. We're like, that has to go in the book. So we tried to keep his language as much in the book. But obviously, the story is absolutely his. And the accuracy of the story and the accuracy of the images is essential to him.
Jocelyn, when I first saw the book, I thought, heavens above, this could be made into an animated film. And to my astonishment, I learned that that may be happening.
Well, that is our plan indeed, yeah. We have a film company, our small film company, based in Melbourne and in Cambodia, called Good Morning Beautiful. And on this trip with Vanak, we're going to be going to talk to a studio in Melbourne about adapting that book into an animated feature film.
And of course, with some of the new animation technologies, that should be quite achievable.
That's right. And I think there's his story. Anyone who reads his story will know it's an epic story. Someone read his book and said, it's a modern 12 Years a Slave, and it absolutely is that. But it's all the magic is within his drawings and the accuracy and intricacy of his drawings and illustrations. So we want to bring that to life.
They're also, let it be said, remarkably gentle drawings, given that they're dealing with such horrific incidents.
There's
a sweetness about the drawings.
Yeah, I think that probably comes from Khmer culture, and I think it also comes from the fact that he is, that's innately within his nature, actually, he's a gentle human being. The thing that we actually were asked this about his book in another interview, someone said, why are his drawings so colourful? Why is there so much colour in his images? You know, it's a really dark subject. Why aren't they darker pictures? And he said, if I made them darker, it wouldn't look like true life. Mm. The most important thing for him was to capture exactly how it looked.
He's Vanak, he's not Goya. Okay, Jenny Stenger, bring you in here. How common is this type of story that we're hearing today?
Sadly, there are more people in slavery now than at any other time in human history, including when 350 years of the transatlantic slave trade was happening. So we've got over 40 million.
Yeah.
Yes, as you mentioned, over 40 million in slavery today across so many different industries, so many different sectors. Everywhere in the world, slavery is happening, including right here in Australia. And sadly, the story that Vanak has put to the page and drawn is a story that is repeated in fishing around the world, but it is particularly in Southeast Asia. It is a story
that is particularly in Thailand, where thousands of slaves are working on ships.
That's right, and it's not just people from Cambodia. It's people from other countries. The situation is happening in Indonesia. The fishing industry is a very, very risky industry globally.
Jenny, is the Thai government taking any action to try and address this?
The Thai government has been
That's a very
pursuing
eloquent side.
Well, the all governments around the world, I think, have really struggled to address these practices. And it's not up to government alone. It's up to government. It's up to business. It's up to civil society. It's up to consumers. It's up to all of us to work together to start to address these issues. I mean, certainly there are huge structural issues around labor, migration, protection of human rights, access to justice, cross-border migration and trade that, you know, this issue touches a lot of other issues and that create the environment where these types of practices can occur. So everyone can be doing more.
Before we move on from fish, and there's a lot of other industries that need attention, I can hear some of the listeners saying, can I identify companies that are involved in slavery on fishing boats, like Vanak? Can we identify them in Australian supermarkets, for example?
You can certainly look at where the products are coming from, and you can ask those companies questions about what they're doing to manage these risks in their supply chains.
So frozen fish?
Absolutely. I mean, prawns have gained quite a lot of attention because of slavery that's been found in prawns. But any frozen fish, any fish that's coming from overseas would be potentially risky, and consumers should be asking and demanding that businesses are accountable to having ethical supply chains.
China, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, It's a long roll call.
It is, and you're naming countries where we know that labor rights are poor, we know that access to justice is difficult, we know people are incredibly vulnerable due to poverty, and again, all of these sort of issues that intersect with slavery and create that the environment where slavery can flourish. So we are, you know, in Australia, we are kind of at the center of the most prevalent region, the Asia-Pacific region, where slavery is occurring.
But we're also, in fact, complicit. I've talked on the program previously about Australia's introduction of anti-slavery legislation late last year. It slipped under the radar a bit, though, didn't it?
It did. It sort of passed in the wee hours of the last day of Parliament sitting after quite a lot of work had been put into a bipartisan effort to get the legislation through. The legislation is going to ensure that businesses are taking some steps now to address slavery in their supply chains and to publicly show what they're doing to address
it. But we must also admit that there have been cases of slavery in Australia. If you go back to the treatment of Indigenous people in the cattle industry, if you go back to the blackbirding, dragging people into Australia for the sugarcane business. But right now, there are workers, migrant workers or foreign workers in this country who are being absolutely abused by labour organisations who then evaporate and reform as, I think they call, phoenix companies. So we're doing it as well.
Yeah, we should definitely not ever think that Australia is immune from these practices. And if we consider the number of people, particularly on temporary visas, who are quite vulnerable to exploitation, we need to really be aware how exploitation can pave the way to actual criminal exploitation, where threats and violence are being used against people who may be picking our crops, who may be tiling our bathroom, they might be washing our car. We're definitely not immune from these practices. Australia has a national action plan to combat human trafficking and slavery. A lot of people are surprised to hear that. We have specialist federal police teams that investigate slavery in Australia. We have a special visa framework to protect people who may be victims. So we do have a response. What we really are lacking is awareness. And again, we need to be addressing some of the contributing factors that create the conditions that cause people to wind up to be criminally exploited.
I'm reluctant to give an accolade to a mining magnate, but I understand that Andrew Forrest has been active in supporting anti-slavery measures.
Andrew Forrest has set up the Walk Free Foundation through his Mindaroo Foundation, and it is probably one of the largest global anti-slavery organizations in the world now. And they produce the Global Slavery Index, which is an effort to really measure modern slavery around the world. And I feel very comfortable saying that without Andrew Forrest's support and leadership, Australia would not now have a modern slavery act. So I think his effort is definitely to be commended, and he's shown great leadership.
Vanek, before we end this conversation, a couple of other things I'd like to ask you. Are you still recording your life in drawings every other day?
At the moment, I kind of slow down because due to the health, issues.
Well, hardly surprising after the life you've led. And what's life like for you back in Cambodia?
My life these days is better compared to years ago. But like also sometimes when the like some organization would like me to draw like murals on the wall, then I got paid for that. Not a great deal. Same like Justin had friends who asked, like commissioned me to do some drawing. Again, with that commission, I had some income to support the family. Thankful to Jocelyn, she always tried to find me some work so I can provide for the family. Like not very much work, at least I'm grateful, very happy.
You're very lucky to have Jocelyn in your life. You've done a great job for him.
It goes both ways. Let's be assured of that. You know, I feel very lucky to have encountered Vanek and to be part of this book. It's really something we're very, very proud of.
Well, I've been very happy to be a part of it too. You must do a drawing of sitting in the studio, all of us together.
Okay.
Vanek Prum, author and illustrator of Dead Eye and The Deep Blue Sea, published by Seven Stories Press. Jocelyn Pedrick from GMB Films. And you, Jenny Stenger, from the Anti-Slavery Task Force of the Catholic Archdiocese of Sydney. And thank you also, Sophia Green, for translating. And if you're interested in more information on the subject, and you bloody well should be, Vanek will be part of a panel discussion at the Melbourne Film Festival next week after an excellent film showing on the subject called Buoyancy.